So we're going to turn to the budget now. Jennifer, we're still joined in studio by our panel, Jennifer Bray, political correspondent with the Irish Times, Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party, Mick Barry of Solidarity People for Profit, and Marion Harkin, independent TD for Sligo Leitrim. But Jennifer, what was this? We've seen figures of a 14 billion euro budget, a 6.4 billion euro budget, a 2.3 billion cost of living budget. What was it?
It was a 14 billion euro budget. There's just a lot of different moving parts within it. There's the new spending, basically, on top of all of the existing spending. That's, like you said, just over 6 billion. And then you have non-core spending. A lot of this would be eaten up by things like we're going to see a supplementary estimate in the Department of Health. We know that there's major issues there. This is beyond we even getting into talking about what's happening next year, talking about this year, the costs of Ukraine, accommodating Ukrainian refugees is going to cost 2.5 billion euro next year, as well as social protection supports for them. So there's a lot of other moving parts beyond just the new spending measures that we see. And new spending would include both a tax package, which is 1.3 billion. So now I'm throwing more numbers at you. Right. And then, of course, the one that everyone was watching out for, the cost of living package of supports, which was around 2.3 billion euro. But there's no need to get for us all to get super confused. It all comes in around 14 billion.
Right. And what about health? Because I see there was talk of it hitting 22. There was talk of it hitting about 26 billion and then it comes in around 22 billion.
Yeah.
So
listen, this is going to be, I think, one of the biggest political issues. Yep. I mean, it always is. But next year, I think we're really going to see the rubber hit the road, because what they've actually allocated towards health in core funding, and that's about, you know, what it needs to keep the hospitals open, etc., 800 million. Only 100 million of that is for new measures. So there's only 100 million euro put aside in this massive budget you just outlined there for new measures in the Department of Health.
Forget Say that again. How much?
100 million.
100 million.
For new measures. I mean, put all that aside, the HSE have said very clearly that they believe that they will need 2.5 billion euro extra next year in the Department of Health. That is three times what the government have allocated. So I don't know what the political thinking is here. Is it a stick to beat the HSE and say, we give you a supplementary estimate nearly every year, you're not getting it this year and you have to put in performance targets? Or are they just shrugging their shoulders and saying, we'll give them a supplementary at the end of this year, there'll probably be another one at the end of next year, and this thing is just a black hole and let's just let it be? I don't know, but it doesn't make sense.
All right. If the HSE can't plan its budget, Pauline O'Reilly, then they can't do long-term planning. We had somebody ringing into the Minister of Public Expenditure, the Minister for Finance, on Claire Byrne's programme earlier on today, saying they are an ageing parent, they have an adult child with a disability, they want to know what's going to happen and what's going to be in place for them in a few years' time. But it's very hard to do that kind of strategic planning for the HSE if they don't know what the predictable funding is going to be.
I mean, just to be clear, it's the department, I think it's with the highest amount of funding to it, is health, or certainly second highest. But, you know, outside, I suppose, of a budget that is about giving, a department that is about giving people money. So it is a massive budget already, and it has seen an increase. So let's be clear about that. And you do have to be prudent with budgets.
It's a cut.
But, well, look, just to be clear about this, over the last couple of years, there has been an extra 22,000 staff. But I mean, I know I've sat down with the Minister for my Health myself and tried to get things over the line for the budget, and particularly in nursing and midwifery. And I mean, he's given the assurance that that's the priority. They still need to find the staff for that. I mean, I'm in the west of Ireland, and finding staff for some parts of Connemara is incredibly difficult. So there are multiple challenges here, that it's not just about money. But I'm certainly, you know, would have liked more measures, particularly around women's health. And I know IVF is being funded. We're increasing contraception. I mean, I would like to have seen more of those kinds of measures that actually impact people, that I don't think would have been hugely expensive, for instance.
Right.
But like, there are two other things to take into consideration.
We have a real
demographic shift in this country, a massive increase in population, an aging population.
Okay, but
it's not going to be easily solved.
Sure, but we have a thing called a census, which is done up by statisticians, which is supposed to help economists plan. And there seems to be a singular failure to do that within the health sector in this country.
We also have a budget that you just, we can't give unlimited spending ability to the entire state. Like, it's not going to work like that. We also have a backlog from COVID coming into all of our waiting lists.
We'll come back on this. Mick Barry, you said
$500 million for those waiting lists in this budget.
Okay, Mick Barry, you say it's a cut. It's a cut till it isn't, and the supplementary budget is delivered at the end of the year, and then it's not a cut anymore because a big fat hole is filled with another couple of billion, and then it's not a cut anymore.
Yeah, but there's some issues that you can't kick down the road to the supplementary budget. So let's look at it. Government will deny that it's a cut. They'll say there's an increase in spending of 808 million in health. That's the lowest increase that we've seen in any recent year. Mm. And it's at a time when, number one, the population is increasing, and number two, the population is ageing and the number of older people is increasing. And against the backdrop of inflation, that is a significant cut in the health budget. And the government have decided now to pick a fight with two key groups of health workers. First of all, they picked a fight with the admin workers. They've frozen their numbers within the HSE, when what they should have done was cut back on the spending to the agencies. And there is now an industrial action taking place there. It was inevitable that would follow. And then next week, in a whole series of Section 39 organisations across the state.
Just to be clear, when you say they should cut back on agencies, are you talking about agency nurses?
And what I'm saying is that they should be recruiting direct employment through the HSE rather than spending the money on the agencies, which actually costs more in order to do that. All right, they've chosen to freeze the number of admin staff while continuing to spend.
But in the short term, if you had that choice to make, would you not freeze admin staff and spend less on agency nurses?
I would spend whatever is necessary in order to provide a service, but I would put the heavy, heavy emphasis on direct recruitment into the HSE itself. Okay. And they've chosen to pick a fight with a second group of workers, the Section 39 workers, whose pay link with the public sector was cut during the austerity period, but now, as pay is being restored in the public sector, they lag further and further behind.
Even though they provide...
And the pickets will be placed next Tuesday. So the government are making a real mess on the health front.
Right. Marian Harkin, we didn't hear any big new ideas in the health budget. We didn't hear a radical increase that I'm aware of trying to buy private capacity to clear waiting lists and the like. What did you see in this health budget that you saw as encouraging, and what did you think was the big letdown?
Well, I have to say I didn't see a lot that was encouraging. Quite right, it is the lowest increase in many years. And Pauline spoke about what she wanted to see. When I look at where I live and I look at the hospitals that have the longest waiting lists, the highest waiting lists, Limerick, of course, but you've got Sligo, Letterkenny, Galway, Cork. They're almost always the top five. Yeah. So all along the Atlantic seaboard, I want to see, you're asking about the private system and could we buy into that? We need in the short term more beds. We need greater supply within the hospital. But in the meantime, we have to buy that from the private healthcare providers. I think that's absolutely essential, because I remember last year asking the minister about his winter health plan, and he was telling me about all of these new jobs that were going to be put in place. I then put down a question, and I find the interviews were taking place for them at the beginning of this year, and it was supposed to be a winter plan. We're already facing into winter with huge capacity constraints across the state. But Colm, when the Irish Hospital Consultants Association write to the minister and tell him that because of the waiting lists, they are seriously concerned about patient health in what they call the CHO1 area, which is the west and northwest. And that's just a few months ago. And when 78 GPs from Donegal write to him because of what's happening in Letterkenny, and over 50 in Sligo this time last year, that right. shows and you the issues that we're facing there. And while they can't be dealt with today in this year's budget, what he could do was put aside substantial amounts of money to buy in that care now.
Jennifer Bray, it's not the first time we've seen a row over what should be predictably the health budget, because the HSE and the Department of Health had a fight. IFAC, which was counselling caution over this particular budget and then issued its verdict on the budget afterwards, said it couldn't read from the budget where the provision was made for the health overspend. Mm. This seems to be a perennial issue, that there's this low-balling of the health spend.
Yeah.
And then so after the fact, it gets out of control.
Yeah. I think in 8 of the last 10 years, there has been a supplementary budget in the Department of Health. That's from a table that I saw recently. And you want to know one of the most depressing things about the conversation here now, what different people would do, like limiting agency spending, which is off the charts every year, is my information is that Stephen Donnelly went into those budget bilateral talks and said, here's what we've already done this year, including freeze on certain staff, limiting agency, and here's the savings that it's achieved. And then he said, here's what we could do further next year, 2024.
As in more freezing and more saving?
Yeah, here's extra. No, I don't know exactly what the measures were, but I know it involves more freezing and more saving. And I'm told that he said, even if we do all those things next year, we'll still have a deficit. So even if everybody's plans and ideas from all different walks of political life came together, it seems to me that there's just an attitude of this is inevitable. So that's worrying, to say the least.
Pauline O'Reilly, like the issue of inflation is a big one. Hospitals have to feed people. Regional hospitals provide meals on wheels to people. The cost of food alone has expanded in excess of 6% beyond anyone's budget. And that's only one headline. Then there's energy. Then there's all of the other things that the government on one level has intervened to households to provide energy credits, et cetera, and tax breaks and you name it as cost of living measures. But there are cost of living measures in the hospitals that arguably should have been factored in.
No, look, I mean, let's be clear, it isn't a reduction in spending. So let's just, I mean, mix incorrect in that. It is an increase, albeit not an increase to the level that people want. And that's a different thing. But I don't think that all of the issues can be solved in a budget. I suppose that's the point that I'm making. All of the issues can't be solved in a budget. And there are quite clear things around demographics. And we can say, well, we know from the census, we still have to find the money in a longer term way. We still have to find a different approach. And that's why I think Sláinte Care is actually the key to this. And making moves in that direction are important. But let's not forget, you know, that there is half a billion there.
Just abandon the targets.
There is half a billion
there's
there.
No way you
I'll come back to you, mate.
Like, you were incorrect in the last thing you said. So, look, to be honest, half a billion is what is put aside for waiting lists. I'm in the west of Ireland. I know about waiting lists as well. And in fact, you know, just because you're a government parliamentary party member doesn't mean that you don't understand what's really going on for people, which is why the cost of living measures in this budget are incredibly important.
Right.
Those are the things within our control in the Green Party. Those are the things that we did push for and we did achieve in terms of energy, in terms of, you know, hot meals for children, and there'll be 900 more schools. And that, like all of those things will make a difference to people's lives.
All right, let's just stick on, because one of your criticisms, Mick Barry, was that, you know, why aren't there more direct hires in the health system? We heard the Minister for Further Education stand up and say they're going to increase the number of medical training places.
That's
now,
right.
Surely that's providing a pipeline for that hiring that you're calling for. It just won't be there tomorrow.
Yeah, increased investment in medical training places is a positive. I think you could have a discussion on whether it's being planned to go fast enough. But there is no question that the 800 million extra allocation to health is a cut. Or if you want to be technical about it, it's an increase which is lower than the rate of inflation, and it is a de facto cut. And in making that de facto cut, something that probably hasn't been headlined yet, the government has in reality thrown out the window any possibility of reaching its Sláinte Care targets, right? That's not going to happen now, certainly on the basis of those figures, even though it was lagging behind in any case. And to step back and look at the big picture here, you have a real lack of vision. I mean, was there an American president, George Bush Sr., he said he struggled with the vision thing. Well, this government is really struggling with that, because even if you think 65 billion is an overstatement, and that it'll come in more between maybe 40 and 50 billion over the next 4 years. The opportunity was there to put public services, the likes of which the society has not known before, in place. And they've blown it in an attempt to spread the jam very thin and try and sneak the next election. But I don't think it's going to have that effect.
Marian Harkin, do you agree with Mick Barry on that, or do you think things like the Nature and Climate Emergency Fund that's been put in place is the vision thing?
Well, I do think it's prudent to save. If you talk to any householder, any family, people always put a few bob aside for eventualities, whatever they might be, for things that they know will happen and things that they will be unexpected. So that's good management, and I don't think we should expect different from our government. But the amounts we put aside, perhaps we might need to look at. And the issue...
Sorry, just to raise them or lower them?
To lower them, because the issue around the 800 million for health, we know it's not going to be nearly enough. And yes, they're putting more places, medical training places in place, but we then have to make sure those staff work here. And the retaining of staff, even the recruiting of staff, is a huge issue, because people look at a system that they feel will not work for them, a system where people are burnt out despite the goodwill, and there's a lot of goodwill out there, and that they don't often have the proper pathways for advancement and training. And, you know, we're losing some of our very best. So they're doing the first bit, but they're not doing the second and the third. And look, I don't have all the solutions of this. I'm not sure I'd want Stephen Donnelly's job, to be perfectly honest with you, because there are so many moving parts.
Jennifer Braid, was Stephen Donnelly want Stephen Donnelly's job?
I looked at him in the Dáil Chamber the other day, shortly after the budget was announced, and I thought, is he going to quit? He looked so annoyed. Obviously, he's not quitting.
Right.
But
I want to ask you about authorship of this budget, because Pauline O'Reilly listed off a number of measures there, which I think, Pauline O'Reilly, you were saying were green measures, the hot school meals programme and childcare increases, the cut of cost in childcare.
50% reduced childcare in this term of government under the Green Party minister. So, you know, those are the things that I suppose we have some control over. And so we're doing our utmost, and I think that it is being successful, and I think that it will help people. So this is actually a very progressive budget. So let's not lose sight of that in this whole conversation. This is a good budget, and it helps people.
All right. We were talking to Lisa Chambers of Fianna Fáil last night, and Damien English of Fine Gael, and they were claiming credit as backbench TDs for channeling the anguish of the public over mortgage interest, for example, to government, and it was that, rather than Sinn Féin on the opposition benches, that led to that clause going in. But was there a bit of, should there be some author's royalties extended to the opposition benches as well?
Yeah, do you know what? If you look at the Sinn Féin alternative budget, now, in fairness, is only out very recently, I actually could see very few difference between Sinn Féin alternative budget and what the government actually announced. In fact,
I have heard it described as a love letter to Fianna Fáil.
Honestly, I can't disagree. But some of the measures even are less than what the government have rolled out in eventuality. And one point I'll make about the Green Party is, and I'm sure Pauline will disagree with me, I think sometimes in the Green Party, because they don't have either of the finance portfolios, that they're a little bit left out in the dark. And I know that the Greens are trying really hard in this budget to point out measures that they...
Can we let Pauline... Are you left out in the dark, or you just don't turn the lights on to conserve energy?
It's just hard to square that with the reality, which is like the, you know, the €450 of credits for energy, and that is the Green Party with the 50% reduction and increasing for transport for young people and increasing that to age 25. The childcare I've already mentioned, you know, this package of over €3 billion
Mick Barry,
for nature and climate.
Mick Barry, do you want to claim credit for anything that was in this budget? Do you think you raising your voice from the opposition benches secured any nugget of success in this particular budget for yourself? Do you recognise your hand in there anywhere?
Give yourself some credit, Mick.
I do think...
Pick a measure, any measure.
I think...
We won't argue.
The relentless pressure...
The relentless pressure from the opposition benches. Yes. But also people power campaigns that
that the left would be involved in, obviously put pressure on the government. I think there was maybe more pressure last year when we had 25,000 people on the streets in the run-up to the budget. But I think
yes. Where were they this year?
I think that people are just putting their heads down, knuckling down and trying to get through it at the moment.
Do you think there'd be more if Pauline's party secured free public transport for all?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of half measures in the budget. I mean, the free public transport is a no-brainer now in terms of the climate crisis. It was experimented in Spain and Germany over the summer, proved to be very successful. And it should be done across Europe.
We've discussed this
including
before.
Here. And on childcare.
Okay,
Increasing services also has to be done.
We need Marion Harkin to come in just very briefly.
I have a good example.
What did you secure in this budget? Where's your hand evidence?
What they call a private member's motion in March of this year, which asked that the income disregard, that's the amount of money that a person can earn, a family care can earn, to get carers allowance.
That's yours, is it?
I asked it be increased to 450 for a single person, 900 for a couple. That's exactly what happened.
All right, down comes the gavel. Done. We'll go to a break. We're back after that.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.